Okay. Can you introduce yourself?
Okay, I'm Julie Thorburn.
And? Here we are, sitting in the sun.
In Barger. 5 years ago, I was working as a pharmaceutical sales representative in central Scotland, having no idea that 5 years on, sitting here in the sun with you. I came to this area a few times with my son on holiday, and always said to him, we never go to the same place twice, the world's a big, big place.
Why here? What brought you specifically
to
this area?
We've never been to Italy, so we went to the south, we went to Amalfi and enjoyed it for everything Italian, not because for any other reason. And then I decided we would look at another area, which then naturally followed, we should come to Tuscany. Just through looking on the internet, it just narrowed it down to I guess, Garfagnana. And I think if you stay in this area, you eventually, sooner probably rather than later, come to Barga. Obviously, Lucca, Firenze, but we didn't have a car, so Barga was the centre. And he loved it, absolutely loved it. And so we came back. And this was breaking my rule. We don't go anywhere twice, but we came back a few times. So that's got us started. There is a strong Scottish element here, of course, as you know, but I'm not desperately Scottish. I'm half English. Half my life is in England, the other half in Scotland. And I usually stay away from places where there are too many locals, too many English voices. It feels like a second home here. It feels very, I don't know, I feel very comfortable here, I don't feel threatened, don't feel safe, very, very safe here. I feel very welcome as well. So I decided to buy a holiday home with my ex-husband agreed to buy a holiday home with me, but he doesn't travel. So as long as I was going to do the project management, he would never come. So that was kind of ideal.
Sounds like a perfect arrangement.
He would pay for half of everything. Yeah. I would manage it all, and he would never come. But just an investment with friends. And so I found places out in Val di Lima, and that's where I met Daniel, my builder. And we became close, and I found a house that I wanted. Mm. But as we became closer, my ex-husband became less interested in investing, understandably. So what we did then, I was made redundant. So that threw me into a less secure position because I was going to slowly reduce my hours, spend more time out here and less time at home because my job enabled me to do that. So that became less possible because I was, in fact, jobless, but landed another job very quickly. I was fortunate. And that's when I started asking questions. Well, what do I really want from the future? My son then was 18, 19. I'm virtually a single parent. He's an only child. Is that what I really wanted, to work in central Scotland forever? Wishaw, Airdrie, Lanarkshire? Yeah. So I thought, got very friendly with Daniel. We found the house that we wanted. He was going to be the builder, of course. We were going to renovate, and I was going to run holiday accommodation and project management and all that sort of thing. Sold my house in a day in the UK.
Wow.
Put it on the market, and somebody, this is in Callander in central Scotland, somebody bought it online within 24 hours. So there was a message there, I think, as well. It was, you know, lost the job, sold the house, rehomed the dog, get yourself over to Italy. And so I did, and then everything fell apart in Val di Lima. Then it fell apart in Tresilico, we were going to buy there. Five different houses never came to fruition. And so, and our relationship wasn't very good either. So I decided just to go it alone. And just scouring the internet and saw the land here, which I don't think was advertised in Italy, but was on an English website. And I'm very friendly with Daniel. And he said, well, it's cheaper to build than to renovate. And my dream has always been, not always, but I just used to, we used to sit in these dirty, horrible waiting rooms thinking, if I get out to Italy, wouldn't it be lovely to just give people a really nice time? Just give them really lovely holidays. Because we work for so many weeks of the year for a two-week holiday, and sometimes they're not very good. And I just thought it would be really nice to give people a really nice holiday. I'm very interested in architecture, I'm very interested in design, I'm very interested in here. I absolutely love it here. My son just really wants to be in Barga. He's not going to live here, but he wants to come and visit his mum in Barga. And saw the land, and that's the reason why I'm in Barga. It's three floors. The top floor, which has independent access, it's the higher door in the street. That takes you up to the second floor, and then there's a stair for guests. And I'm going to just rent out the top floor.
With an incredible view.
The balcony is
incredible.
Amazing.
Yeah. You've got a view right across both ways of the mountains,
over
on the front,
Pagna,
and the stuff behind as well. Pagna,
yeah. Right up the valley. It's absolutely
incredible.
Stunning. And the balcony is very big. I've been so lucky. I've got a wonderful architect. Although I've had quite a say in all of this myself. Mm. It started off as a lodger, and then that never came to it. And I said, well, can we do this? And it's nice being able to choose room sizes. And I'm an outside person, and I think most people, when they come on holiday, prefer to be outside. Obviously, we don't have a garden. The Comune weren't going to go for a roof terrace. though I would like to.
No.
Nor can we fit a swimming pool in. But it's a very big terrace. I haven't compromised and tried to fit two rooms in upstairs, bedrooms. It's one nice big one nice big bathroom, and one very beautiful balcony.
Let's talk one second just about the house as it was before. It wasn't a house.
It was a pile of rubble.
It was a bomb site. It was what was left after the Second World War, and never been renovated.
No, the rubble was actually, I think it's been a dumping ground for quite a few local people as well, because we've got all sorts of things have turned up that should never have been there. We've had aluminium, double glazed patio doors and all sorts to deal with, you know, and trying to get it off the site, down a ladder. It hasn't been easy. The rubble was, I think, 2 meters deep. If I stood with my hands in the air, it was to the height of my fingertips. And it's 28 square meters.
Did you not have any fear that there might have been stuff left from the Second World War sitting underneath those rocks? I mean, that was bombed.
Yeah.
Unexploded bombs? Did you never ever think that... unexploded bombs.
We joked about it. It was kind of desperate days, really. It was this or nothing. You know, it was just... I'm a person that just gets on with stuff.
You've got an incredible amount of work. I mean,
blood, sweat and tears.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
tears, but
no.
lots of blood and sweat. No. And it was through the winter months that we were clearing the site. So when the ground froze, we had to take a pick because the most difficult stuff to shift is broken terracotta.
Right.
Because you can't shovel it, and when it's frozen, you know, that is a beast. And then you'd come across boulders. I mean, I think we could have reconstructed Stonehenge three times with the boulders that we found.
Wow.
And then how do you lift them? Daniel's very, very, very strong. I'm not. But every day and every bucket was a step closer.
We're gradually going down and down and down.
And some week, I mean, I've got photos right from the start, hundreds. And yeah, when you look back, but it's been a labour of love.
But it's nearly finished. The house is just about ready.
No, but I would love to think so. It should have been ready at the end of this month. I think it's going to take a good bit longer than that, because I've got big dreams for Inside as well. I want it finished really, really nicely. It's all traditional. I'm using all local materials. I wanted it to be even this area, but for example, I want granite, and there's no granite here. The nearest granite, I think, is Sardinia, so it's going to have to come from there. But everything else. Just a couple of weeks ago, I had a flight cancelled over to the UK, and Daniel was going up to collect the stone from north of Firenze that we're using to stand the railings on and for the doorsteps. And he was going up there. So I had this most magical drive for about 3 hours into the mountains, 5 foot snow, blue sky. Because I'd wanted this stone from Tuscany, and they'd sort of dug it out the mountain the week before, and it's all been beautifully carved. So we brought that back, and now it's in place. And it's just nice to see where everything's come from. Terracotta's all going to be local and hand cut. I want to get it to the highest spec possible. We've put a lot of chestnut inside, and that's all local as well. You're very welcome to come and see it. You need to be wearing dirty clothes because it's filthy in there. You're very, very welcome to come out and see it anytime you want. Anytime.
Let's talk a bit about Barga, what it is, this area. Why, as I was saying earlier, I was talking this week with a group of international journalists who were here to see what it was that was happening in Barga and this area and why so many people were coming here. Why they were staying, and it was very difficult. I was showing them around the town. It was very difficult to explain what it was that brings people here. But there's something that brings people here, and once they've been, if they're of a certain way of thinking, they'll come back. And if they come back, they'll keep on coming back. Yeah. And your story sounds exactly like that.
It very much is. There is a sense of belonging here. And I'm not sure why, because it's not English, it's not Scottish, the town. It's quite Italian.
Yeah.
Not a lot of English spoken other than among the expats. For me, I love the mountains. I mean, I'm from central Scotland. I love the mountains, I love the mountain air. I like beautiful things, and it's very, very beautiful here. The proximity to Lucca, to Firenze. The culture, the Italian culture. But why Barga?
Why Barga? Not Castelnuovo?
And why are we all here when there are so many little groups of expats who sit and moan all day long? Aren't there?
There are. It's a classic English.
In English.
It's a classic English thing that people do. I don't know why they do it. They go to a particular place of a foreign country in inverted commas, and then they stick with each other.
Anglify it.
Yeah.
Or try to.
Yeah, it's a particular.
Don't get that. But I'm sure they go home to England and say how wonderful it is.
Probably.
It's certainly difficult living here. I find it a lot more expensive and a lot more challenging. But I absolutely love the Italians, really. Why Barga? Why Barga? I've got friends here. I've even got family here now. But they weren't here before. And they're not my reason for being here.
So you have no connection with the area whatsoever? No. I keep meeting these people. For me too. I came here. I have no connection whatsoever with this area.
No.
This is now my home. This feels
home.
I'm
staying.
I'm here.
Yeah. I
came on holiday 27, 28 years ago. I'm still here.
Yeah.
My roots are now here.
Yes. Yeah. I want to share it. For me, this is quite important now. I found a place that I want to stay forever, and I'm a bit of a gypsy. I move on and on and on and on. I found somewhere that I want to stay. And now I want to share it with people who appreciate the same things. I like the fact there isn't really a job element here.
Well, that was the other thing you said at the start of this discussion. You feel safe. For a woman on her own, or a woman to move around at night time, here is perfect.
I believe so.
I remember
so.
Saying, there's a good example. I remember saying years and years ago, why was it I came to Baga? And I said, because no one was going to steal my kids. And they looked me in the face, they laughed in my face. Who the hell wants to steal kids?
Yeah.
Wait, this was 25 years ago. Yeah. Now the world has changed. Mm. It's gradually arriving. The happy island is gradually disappearing. Mm. And now people understand when you say they're not going to steal your kids. You feel safe.
I dread to say it, but grandchildren even. This, for me, is a lovely place. If my son has children, I think this would be a wonderful place for them to be as well. That really was the reason why I moved up to Scotland, and particularly the village I moved to, because I thought, what a wonderful place to have children. Safe. And not just safe because nobody's going to steal them and harm them and stick a knife in their backs, but it's about spoiling their minds as well, and their own values and standards and beliefs and attitudes. I feel it's very clean living here, and I'm not going to use the word honest, but I feel it. I'm living here. Before I worked, I survived. I existed as that professional salesperson, that mother. Different role for every hour of the day, really. Here, I wake up. And I'm me, I'm Julie. All day long, I'm me.
Perfect. The way you've just described it, that's perfect.
And that's the first time in my life that I know that I've done it. Ever. I'm me. And everybody treats me the same way. You have your disguises. Mm. If I bother to put makeup on in the morning, it doesn't matter what I wear, I'm me. I'm me. And that's fine. It seems to be okay with people. And I love that honesty. I'm true. I'm living. I have no work. I haven't worked now. I'm into my third year. Well, this is seriously bad. But I'm living in a house in Tresillico that's not mine. A stranger offered me her house when she knew I was homeless. And I'm still living there a year on. For some reason, I've found incredible fortune here, even the house that I'm building. That's just come my way. Why? Why was that? Why was that land waiting for me? It's been for sale for years and years and years. The site has been in that state for 66 years. I think the house was on the market for, I don't know, 12 years? Not quite sure. Why was that waiting for me? Why have I found such a good builder? Because he's doing a great job. And therefore, I hope the business is successful. And certainly it needs to be, because it really needs work. At every turn, I've found good fortune, and I'm living. I don't know where my next meal's coming from, but for sure, I'll be eating tonight. And this is the way that I found it here. And it's magical, and it's very difficult to qualify, because I don't know why
I have a phrase. I used to have it written on the beams in my kitchen, and it used to be on the site itself. It used to be part of the title on the site. And it is chance favors the prepared observer. Chance favours the prepared observer.
Yeah.
And it's, for me, it's been a central thing in my life since being in Italy, that if you're prepared for it, it's going to happen. And it's not luck. It's got nothing to do with luck. It's chance favours the prepared observer.
Yes.
And you were obviously a prepared observer when you arrived here. And chance is happening for you, and it's happening for many people. Mm. It's very, very strange. There is something special about this place.
Mm. It's all here. Everything is here. Certainly everything I need and want in my life is here. And it is important to keep your eyes open and see, and to listen as well. And maybe because I've taken a lot of time thinking about it, and I don't know. But never have I gone back to a place once even. Never returned.
No,
never.
This is the longest I've ever stayed in any open place ever. I've moved around all the time.
Yeah.
You were stopped.
Yeah. I don't think it's an age thing. I don't think it's a stage in your life thing. I don't believe in luck either. Mm. But I think your words are absolutely true, actually, because I recognised what I needed when I saw this area.
Well, the words were actually spoken by Louis Pasteur when they asked him how did he discover the stuff that he was looking for.
Yeah.
And he said, well, chance favours the prepared observer. And he spent 30 years looking for the stuff he was prepared.
Yes,
and when the thing finally, under Gianni's Petri dish, appeared, he was ready for it.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with chance.
No.
You have to be prepared to accept it.
To accept it, yes, and to embrace it, and to have the confidence, I think, to run with it. Because I left everything. I sold my house in a day. Mm. I left my son. Of course, he's my best friend, and I love him to bits, and I haven't left him, but I'm living in another country. Left the dog, left my friends, left my culture, my language, my family. And it wasn't on a whim, because I had absolute conviction that it was the right thing to do. Why? I still don't know. But I'm right, for me. I wouldn't change it. Well, I love it.
It's perfect. Okay. Thank you for sharing.
Not at all. There's more, but like I said,